Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Thursday, February 20th. I'm Olivia Rose. Federal workers in Juneau are among the thousands nationwide to receive layoff notices in inboxes last week and over the holiday weekend. This is part of the Trump administration's continued efforts to downsize the government. KTOO's Clarice Strumpel reports on how residents are dealing with the layoffs.
Matthew Brodsky got his dream job in 2023. As a wilderness ranger for the U.S. Forest Service, he patrolled Tracy Arm Fjord by kayak in the summer season, monitoring environmental data and providing information to visitors aboard cruise ships. But last week, Brodsky says he and other Forest Service staff in Juneau were called into a meeting.
The bomb was dropped that 9 people were getting fired that day in Juneau, and it was the first wave of, you know, an indefinite amount of waves. And when it was all said and done, basically every single probationary employee in the Forest Service was going to be fired for the exact same reason.
His termination letter arrived on Sunday. The letter reads, in part, that based on his performance, his further employment at the agency would not be in the public interest.
Like, even knowing that was going to come, seeing that language show up, and knowing for a month that I'm probably going to lose my job, it didn't really dampen the, like, how that read and what a slap in the face that was to actually see it in writing from some person I've never met and who has no idea the work I've done or my coworkers either.
Most federal employees must complete a 1-year probationary period after they're hired. But Brodsky was hired under a Forest Service program aimed at people already in Alaska that included a 2-year probationary period. For him, that period ends in June. He says some of his coworkers had just a few weeks left in theirs. Many of them are now struggling with whether to stay in Juneau.
I don't want to leave this community. I know people that probably will have to. That there's major implications of that sort of decision incoming, not just for Juneau, but for other communities around Alaska.
Shortly after President Donald Trump took office last month, more than 2 million federal employees received an email from the Office of Personnel Management offering full pay and benefits through September in return for their resignation. But Brodsky and many of his coworkers didn't actually have access to the email when it was first sent out. They're seasonal and didn't return to pay status until this month. Nationally, some federal employees have reported being fired even after accepting the offer, though the Trump administration said Sunday that was a mistake. Requests for information about the total number of firings within the Tongass region were directed to the Forest Service's Washington, D.C. office, which has not responded. But a local union representative said 124 Forest Service employees across the state had been terminated as of Tuesday. According to a report from the Juneau Economic Development Council, Juneau had roughly 700 federal civilian employees as of 2023. In the Southeast region, more than 1,300 people were federally employed. And the layoffs weren't limited to the Forest Service. The National Park Service and Federal Highway Administration were also affected. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration employees in Juneau have been told to expect layoffs, too. More than 500 people rallied to demonstrate against the layoffs and other Trump administration policies outside the Capitol in Juneau on Monday as part of a nationwide protest. Among them were recently terminated federal workers and federal workers who feared for their jobs.
I work for NOAA, yeah, so I'm a little afraid.
One NOAA employee, who didn't give her name because she's afraid of retaliation, said workers received an email over the weekend that said it's likely that all probationary employees in her office will be let go. Anyone who's been with NOAA for less than a year.
You know, Alaska has a lot of subsistence people that need to understand how their weather and their climate and their environment's changing. And if we lose employees in NOAA or we cut back NOAA's power, they're not going to have those services.
But the loss of federal workers in Juneau ripples out into the private sector, too. Mike Heckers, a local guide in the summers, said he is upset about the layoffs.
There's going to be about 900,000 people coming to the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center area this summer, and there may be no services, nobody patrolling for bear issues, managing the buses and the taxis and the people.
Looking around at the dispersing rally, he said it was great to see so many people outraged, even as a torrent of changes come from the Trump administration.
It's discouraging, but we're going to keep fighting. We'll see what tomorrow brings, but I'm going to stay the course.
Brodsky, the former wilderness ranger, says he has no plans to leave Juneau at the moment. He's looking for other jobs, and he hopes he'll find something he loves as much as the last one. With help from Adeline Baxter, I'm Claire Strempel in Juneau.
A closely watched bill that would boost state funding for public schools took a step forward on Wednesday. With Fairbanks Democratic Representative Maxine Dibert out battling an illness, the majority could not pass the bill out of committee along caucus lines, so they took the unusual step of moving it to the Finance Committee with a floor vote instead. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, says it was necessary to keep the education bill on track to reach the governor's desk in March so districts can plan their budgets.
We had no other choice. There is a sense of urgency out there. The clock is ticking for a lot of our school districts.
The bill would increase state education spending by more than $300 million next year. Representative Rebecca Schwanke, a Taslina Republican who also sits on the Education Committee, argued lawmakers needed more time to debate the bill and consider changes.
If we have one more opportunity in our committee to actually take all of the questions, the thoughts, the ideas that came up in public testimony, and debate the bill as committee members take the vote, that actually allows us to complete the process. If we don't get that opportunity, I'm wondering what kind of tone that sets.
Representative Rebecca Himshu, a Sitka independent and education committee co-chair who sponsored the funding bill, says the bill has faced plenty of scrutiny from lawmakers and the public over the past month.
We had gone through the full process. We had considered amendments. We had done everything in committee. So there wasn't going to be another opportunity to discuss in committee. We had already done all of that.
The bill is scheduled for its first hearing in the Finance Committee today. It'll have to pass out of that committee before a final House debate and vote. The House majority said Monday that Dibert was in the hospital with a respiratory issue. Her chief of staff said Wednesday that Dibert's condition is improving, but did not have an estimate on when she would return. Anchorage parents could be held legally liable if their child brings a gun or other deadly weapon to school under a proposed assembly ordinance. East Anchorage Assembly Member Karen Bronga introduced the ordinance. She says in the past three school years, the school district has confiscated dozens of deadly weapons from students, like knives and hatchets. She says officials have found roughly five firearms a year in the same period.
When I first looked at five, I'm like, well, that's kind of small, but it's kind of big because of the imminent danger that presents.
If the assembly passes the ordinance, prosecutors could charge a parent or legal guardian with a Class A misdemeanor if their child brings a deadly weapon to school and there's proof that they provided the child with the weapon or allowed them access through negligence. Bronga says the school district has done a number of initiatives in recent years to lay out responsible gun ownership and the importance of safe storage of firearms, but legally the city can't mandate that storage.
We're not telling you can't have these things in your home. We're just saying if you have these things, that you need to check your kids because we can't charge them in a felony because of state law, but they will have a Class A misdemeanor if they show up at school with a dangerous weapon.
If convicted, the parent or guardian could face up to a year in jail and up to a $25,000 fine. There are caveats to the liability, such as if the parent or guardian reported the weapon stolen or had it stored in a reasonable manner. A school district spokesman declined to comment on the ordinance. In a statement from the Anchorage Police Department, officials said the ordinance contributes to public safety and responsible firearm ownership, and, quote, this holds parents accountable if they allow a child access to a firearm brought onto school grounds, reinforcing the importance of secure storage. Bronga says the ordinance will likely be voted on in early April. KFSK has an open airwaves policy. We encourage the public to express personal opinions, ideas, and creative works, which will be available on our website, kfsk.org, following the scheduled radio broadcast. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. The following commentary was submitted for broadcast by Karen Severson.
Hi, this is Karen Severson. I feel urgency to share some very scary things happening that are hurting our community and country. In just a few months' time, if we don't engage and resist, the damage will be irreversible. The strategy to flood the zone and implement Project 2025 has been efficient and chaotic, and we are just beginning to feel the effects here locally. Many are not paying attention and believe the actions of Musk and Doge are justified, though government agencies have been audited annually and the size of government is actually down from 50 years ago. That's not to say there isn't room for improvement, but terminating experienced and dedicated civil servants in every agency of our government is making us less safe and more vulnerable. 124 U.S. Forest Service employees have been fired so far in Alaska, 92 of them here in the Tongass, 10 in Petersburg. These illegal terminations are cruel and wrong. Hardworking young people who have bought homes are raising families and have established themselves as good citizens of our community have had their lives turned upside down for no cause. Cutting the U.S. Forest Service workforce will impact our fish streams, maintenance of roads, bridges, recreation areas, trails, and cabins. And round two is coming. Cuts to NOAA will hurt fisheries and weather forecasting, putting many at risk. Federal infrastructure projects that were already approved are now on hold. Cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, Head Start, school breakfast and lunch programs, funding for schools are all on the chopping block. And yes, they are going after Social Security too. Eliminating the departments of education and of diversity, equity, and inclusion will devastate the lives of the most vulnerable among us, those who didn't ask to be disabled. Our granddaughter was born with dwarfism. She is beautiful and smart and deserves every chance in life. Lately, I'm thankful our daughter moved to Canada, where our granddaughter will receive the types of critical services Musk is eliminating. Voters wanted food and consumer prices to go down, but Trump's tariff trade wars will make prices go up and fish prices go down. All this will be devastating to our economy here in Petersburg, our state, and around the world. Unfortunately, there are some who will only realize this when they themselves are affected personally, and it will happen. Elon Musk is an unelected and unaccountable government official, is wielding expansive executive power in violation of the U.S. Constitution. Elon claims he is ridding the government of waste, fraud, and abuse, while he receives $8 million a day in government subsidies. The harm Musk and his inexperienced Doge team are enacting will have long-term ramifications, all so that they can extend their 2017 tax cuts for the billionaires, raising the debt limit by almost $4.5 trillion. It is up to the Congress to provide the checks and balances that safeguard our democracy. The president is not a king. We, the people, must demand that all three branches of government are working together to fix problems. We must fight against the authoritarianism that is inching closer every day. This is not hyperbole. As a community and country, we must not give in or give up. We must pay attention and make our voices heard. The United States should be the greatest country in the world. Please call and write Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and Representative Begich often. They need encouragement to be on the right side of history and not bow down to all this insanity. Thank you for your time and your support. Let's get back to love and kindness for everyone in the world.
The commentary you've just heard was submitted for broadcast by Karen Severson. KFSK encourages the public expression of personal opinions, ideas, and creative works. Views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of KFSK. For information, please call General Manager Tom Abbott at 907-772-3808. For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.